Hey, this is Christine Niffen, and you're tuned in to Relationships 101 right here on KMOX. Why? Because relating isn't always easy. Hey, good Sunday evening to you as always. Couple of quick announcements. I always like to announce the latest relationship advice column. It's on the KMOX blog page. You know, this week I'm talking about giving away the power. If you've ever found yourself giving away the power in your relationships, you know, by this I mean a pattern of becoming sort of overly focused on your romantic relationships and losing your independence to some degree. And, you know, have you found yourself going along with most things and letting somebody else make many of the decisions? Do you find relationships to be distracting and have difficulty balancing your mental focus between relationships and putting energy into your own life? If that's something you can relate to, be sure to check out the KMOX blog page under the Extras tab. I list a couple of reasons I think that happens. So, you know, I'm big on this show about saying, hey, there's practical reasons and, you know, rational reasons you're feeling and doing what you're doing. So let's stop beating ourselves up and work on changing it. So be sure to check that out. And of course, coming up next week, how do you know when divorce is the answer and when it isn't? We're going to be talking to the author next week of Contemplating Divorce, which is, you know, what single people come in a lot of times to my office and say, I don't know if I should stay or I shouldn't. That's what I'm here to figure out. So I'm interested to check that out as well. So listen, tonight we have a very interesting topic. We have the author of Still Doing It, The Intimate Lives of Women Over 60. It says, when Deidre Fischel and Diana Holtzberg began work on their groundbreaking documentary, Still Doing It, they knew they were catching a wave. The women of the baby boom were aging, and the silence was deafening. The generation that had been so outspoken about sexuality, freedom, and choice had suddenly gone quiet. But in Still Doing It, Fischel, Holtzberg, and the incredible women in their documentary broke the silence. That big dark secret. These women were still having sex and liking it. There's an exclamation point there. The film was a critical success, winning awards and garnering acclaim from some of the nation's top critics. Now they're back with a stimulating and eye-opening book that picks up where the film left off. At its heart, Still Doing It is a vigorous and intriguing look at the generation of women who helped usher in the sexual revolution and change the way we approach love and intimacy. It explores the lives and loves of women in their 60s, 70s, and older. These women are vivacious, confident, opinioned, and wise. I like that. This, however, hasn't stopped them from having the kind of deep passions and relationships that we never think of older women having. Deidre Fischel is an award-winning writer and director of documentaries and dramas, most centering on women's lives. Her films have been screened in festivals around the United States and Europe and have been broadcast on more than 30 television channels worldwide. Deidre, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good. Well, listen, we're going to get right to the thing that probably sounds like the typical question that somebody would ask on a radio show, but I'm actually, you know, just curious, what is it that made you and Diane decide, hey, this is a topic that we would like to do?
Well, I actually had started the documentary a couple of years even before I met Diana, and it was a really specific moment. I was only 37. My sister was turning 40, and I mean, the way she approached that birthday, it was like she was about to be guillotined. I mean, it was like she was walking off a plane.
And this is a lot of women, I have to tell you.
I think it's incredibly typical, and I really looked at it, and I was just a couple of years younger than her. I'm looking at it, I'm going, what is it? And it wasn't her career, and it wasn't, you know, where she lives. Everything was fine, but she had just broken up with her boyfriend. And what it was she just thought, wow, after 40, it's all over. And I started looking at that, and I thought, 40? You know, I knew that we were all going to live to 70s or 80s if we were lucky, and I started to think, wow, if we're going to give up at 40, what is that going to mean for all of us? And the thing is that even our own mother met the love of her life, her third husband, in her 50s. So it wasn't that my sister didn't have models, but it was just the age, the number was scaring her, and that just got me set on this whole inquiry of looking at older women. And, you know, I've gotten older with it, and which has been, it's gotten more and more interesting for me because I began to feel it too. You know, the way that it's hard, you know, not to feel like you want to lie about your age or you want to be younger, but the truth is that most older women are much happier with their lives.
Yes, I saw something in there you wrote from Meryl Streep that she said she was finally comfortable with herself. I think there's a quote in there from Meryl.
I think, you know, I mean, I feel it with myself, but I've interviewed maybe 40, maybe 70 older women in the last you know, 5 or 6 years, and 30 in about 35, really, really in depth. And I would say almost across the board, people feel better. They feel better. Part of the reason that they enjoy sex so much when they're older is not because they can, you know, they can't maybe, you know, jump around in bed quite the way they did when they were 18, but they feel more comfortable. And I was listening to what you were saying when we were, you know, about power. And I think that's a big part of it. A lot of these women would say that when they were younger, they were afraid to ask for what they wanted sexually. And they tended, especially women who came of age in the 40s and 50s.
Well, certainly because of the ages, absolutely.
They were very sort of meek and mild. And in their older age, they've gained a kind of boldness. It partly is about being older and saying, you know what, I've got, 10 years left, 20 years left. I can't afford to kind of sit back and just let life happen to me. And that we never think of that, that age actually sometimes makes people much more experimental and take risks and have fun.
I think that's true. And listen, I had I can't remember who it was I had on quite a while ago, but she brought up a point that, I don't know, I think it was the author of Love or Sex Addiction, and she brought up the idea that really women had sort of been trapped for so long. You had two boxes you could go in. You could be prude or you could be a tramp, you know, and it was difficult for women.
Very, very much so. I mean, even the most radical women in the book, and the film, both, we kind of looked at the whole gamut of women, from very traditional sort of religious women to women who are like sex radicals or sexual pioneers. And even Betty Dodson, who was a, you know, really out there, amazing, said of the 50s, she was like, you had to get married, and you had to do it in a very, very particular way. And so a lot of older women that we met, you know, when the sexual revolution came and they were ready in their 30s and 40s, they were just like, wow, I am let out of the box here, and I get to do what I want to do, whether it's sleep with women, sleep with younger men, not be married, not live with my lover, all sorts of things that just weren't an option before.
Right. And listen, I've got to say, I love documentaries. I always have. And I went to your website, stilldoingit.com, and I checked out your video clip on there. And I thought it was great. I love the woman who had the much younger lover. She was, I think, 73 and he was 26. And she says,
Betty Dodson, yeah.
Is that Betty? Okay. She says, and I quote, many people think it's disgusting. She was the bohemian type, right? Many people think that it's disgusting. I have a younger lover. I don't give a rat's ass. And I'll be honest with you, I was hooked to continue watching the rest of that from that point on, because I thought sort of right on, because honestly, and we just touched on this a minute ago. Now, if somebody was in my office and they were, you know, maybe 50, and I would say, well, you know what, if you're trying to have this serious, long-term, completely committed, looking for the sort of love of your life with a 26-year-old, you know, maybe they don't know enough yet. Maybe they don't, you know, they're not aware enough about life. You're not in the same place because of the age difference. But we have to remember here, these are women wanting different things at this point in their life, right?
Absolutely. What kind of actually, I mean, people have said to me, well, what shocked you? Well, what shocked me was actually how many older women didn't want to live with their lovers. I mean, they were like, a lot of them, like, I got married, I had my kids, I took care of my husband, I was a super caretaker, and they don't want to be a caretaker anymore. They really want to have fun. I mean, the word fun comes up so much more, I found, with women over 60 than with women in their 40s, you know, who are my age, because we're all so stressed about work and about children, and older women are on the other side of that, you know, and they don't, a lot of them do not want to replicate their earlier life and get married. Very, very few do. So, yeah, you know, she, you know, Betty did wind up living with Eric for almost 10 years, but I think that was almost a day by day kind of thing. And at any point, she said it could end, and if it ends, so be it. But she had a lot of fun while it was happening.
Right. And when I talk about expectations all the time with clients or on this show, you know, I always say disappointment equals unmet expectations. Well, these women clearly, as you say, are having very different expectations than perhaps what they had. I mean, maybe their expectations are lower, even though they, you know, they're not so constrained. I mean, we had such an expectation, especially, I'm sure, women in the 50s. Of course, I'm not of that age, but such an expectation of how it looked, how it went down, what you were supposed to do. Like you said earlier, these women have very different expectations. So I guess I don't find it surprising that they're finding themselves happier and using the word fun.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I really, you know, I the people who've been the most sort of wowed by the book and our documentary have been younger women. And I think it's partly because in looking at these older women, they do feel like they get out of the box. You know, it's like we do have such a set sense of like my sister, you know, that was the box. She was supposed to get married in her 30s and she screwed up. And so then it was like life was over. And so the whole impetus for us wanting to, you know, do the documentary first and then write the book was to kind of to open things up and to show that, you know what, a lot of older women are living way out of the box. And, you know, it's partly because they know that life is fleeting. But, you know, life is fleeting for all of us. You can, you know, cry or have this very specific idea. But, you know, if you open up what's possible, a lot of things can swim into your pool. So I think it is really true that, and, you know, they have a very different set of expectations. They also have a sense that things change because most of them have watched, you know, either a spouse die or a friend die. They've seen people get sick. So they live this really long life, and they know nothing is permanent. So whatever they can get, they seize it. They grab it. There's one woman who I absolutely was amazingly inspired by, and she left her husband at 60 after being married and having kids. She was with another man for 10 years. He died. She was with another man for 10 years, and she met the love of her life at 80. And
I love a story like that. I love that.
She kept saying, you know, I just grab whatever I can, and I move from one experience to the next experience, and within that experience, I take the best that I can from it. And I thought, God, you know, I have trouble with that. I have all those same expectations, but these women are an inspiration to me about getting out of the box and opening it up and living each day like it's your last.
Yeah, so one of my favorite lines that I use with clients all the time, because I'm actually a therapist in private practice, one of my favorite lines is, you know, there's a lot of nice things outside of the box. I think it's good for all people to do that. And this is a really great book for everybody, but I would really like to refer some of my older clients to this because, you know, people get in that mindset, you know, maybe their spouse dies in the early 60s. I speak to a singles group at the West County Club, and it's actually the people tend to be a little bit older there, probably more like, you know, 50 to almost 70, I think. And, you know, they're there, but they're pretty set in their ways. And then people start deciding, oh, you know, you can't find love later in life and all that. So I think this would be a great thing for them. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be coming back with Deidre Fischel, author of Still Doing It, The Intimate Lives of Women Over 60. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX, The Voice of St. Louis.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, for those of you just joining us, we are talking to co-author Deidre Fischel about her book, Still Doing It, The Intimate Lives of Women Over 60. Good, fun, lively discussion. So, Deidre, I'd like to kind of talk to you in general, since it said on your bio that, you know, you do a lot of documentaries sort of centered on women's lives. I kind of want to just, you know, your thoughts on, you know, the culture of youth in this country as a whole, especially kind of as it pertains to women and that, you know, endless push for beauty and perfection. You know, what types of negative effects do you see on women as a result of this? Because what I really loved about this book and the whole topic is, you know, the celebration of age, wisdom, and sort of freedom from all of that nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's older age, but I think it's we are in such a really tight box. I mean, it's like I'm so sick of seeing absolutely gorgeous women say, you know, I'm too fat. I'm you know, I'm not pretty enough. I'm too old. I'm too this. And, you know, it's just what's too bad is that it's kind of ultimately such a waste of time. I mean, yes, you want to, you know, and I'll be honest, like the women in the book who are doing well, they do take very good care of themselves. I mean, but they're healthy. It's not an obsession. And, you know, it's like you really have kind of two choices, which is to kind of get into the stream of life and live or kind of take in all that society's dishing out. And I think it takes a lot. I think it takes a lot for all of us to kind of stand up, whether you're like a, you know, a teenager or, you know, you're a young woman trying to decide whether you want to, you know, get married or you're, you know, you're older. It's to stand up and not just worry about all that stuff about how beautiful you are, because, you know, ultimately, I remember that I saw this fantastic documentary about 10 years ago. I was really struck, and there was a woman named Nico.
Mm-hmm.
She was a part of the Velvet Underground, which was Andy Warhol's group, and she was one of the greatest beauties I have ever seen, just this sort of Swedish, majestic, perfect. And when she was much older, she talked about what a freedom it was, because when she was looked at, there was so much pressure on her. She almost didn't feel like anybody saw her for who she was. She was just a reflection of beauty. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about freedom, you know. And I think one of the things about older women is that because they're older, and because by nature the fact that there's a 15-year-old model out there who's the pinnacle of beauty, you're not going to look that way when you're 60 or 70.
No, I just turned 45. I mean, we all get wrinkles.
You get it. And, you know, and so there's something, you know, you really need to make a choice at a certain point. And, Betty's attitude when she said, I don't give a rat's ass.
I loved it. I'm a rebel at heart, though. I loved it.
You really almost need to be a rebel, because if you're not a rebel and you start to think like, wow, I don't look, you know, that's all the nipping and the tucking and the plastic surgery. And, you know, it's just, you at some point have to say, you know what, enough. You know, I'm just going to go out and do my thing. And that's when those are the women that we saw that were really happy. How you get that irreverence and how you are the kind of person that says, you know what, you know, screw you, I'm going to have a 47-year younger lover, which he is, or I'm going to have two lovers. Or,
I'll tell you what that is, in my opinion. That's called self-confidence.
I guess it is.
I think it's self-confidence. I read a quote the other day, something about the definition of empty, you know, is defining yourself by other people's standards. And I, you know, do some writing and I talk about this with clients and stuff. I always talk about people need to find their own voice and learn to be completely okay with their own feelings and not have to call 8 people on the phone and say, would you be upset too if this happened to you?
Right.
And
right.
I think that's very, and when people come into their own, I think they get, now, you don't want, you know, when somebody's just doing that and it's sort of all fake, I don't care what anybody says, but they really do. But we're talking about people who really are like, you know what, this is my life, I have one shot, and I think that's the way people ought to live life, as long as you're not hurting other people.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, for us, the reason, you know, I did start thinking very much about sexuality, but ultimately, the more by the time I'd finished the film and done the book with Diana, is sex really became a metaphor, you know, for just getting it, because society doesn't really see older women sexual and sort of prohibits that.
Right.
But really, sex, you know, whatever your passion is, and I have to say, like, what keeps someone wanting to get up in the morning is passion, and it's passion for another human being, or it's passion for arts or projects, or wanting to travel. Or,
right.
I do think that passion also seems, from what I saw, to give people a little bit of a buffer to that sense of being looked at.
Okay, well then let me ask you, because that may then lead into this question I have for you. You know, it said you did research and extensive interviews with over 30 diverse women, mm-hmm. and I'm always interested in patterns. I like to see patterns, and I love the study, of course, human behavior. You know, what types of patterns did you see among the women that stood out? I mean, were these women who tended to live life more fully prior to their 60s and 70s, even if they did go for the sort of, you know, typical role? I mean, were these women who tended to find more passion in general? What kind of patterns did you see about these women?
No, we kept looking for a pattern. And, we, you know, we would say, well, why are you like this? And one would say, well, because, you know, I was kind of a lonely kid and I had to stand up. Or the other one, next person would say, well, because my mother was really strong, or because I'm an artist, or because I believe deeply in God. Or, you know, we would like interview with these incredibly diverse women and sort of try to find what the key was. We could never find it. What we found was that there were some people who seemed to have this kind of curiosity and unquenchable zest for life that made them sort of, you know, even if something happened that was really difficult, they almost looked at it as a sort of anthropological experience. I remember the one woman was talking about having had cancer, and she's like, yeah, then I thought, wow, my hair came out. That's kind of interesting. I mean, they seemed to be able to just, every experience was something interesting. And so in between, not, you know, let's say they didn't have a lover for a period of their life, they didn't sink. They kept doing things. They got interested in other things. They went back to school, or, you know, they...
Right, they didn't need it. I always say to people, you don't need a relationship, you want a relationship. And until you make that differentiation, and not just intellectually, until emotionally that comes in sync with that intellectually, you are going to, you know, go for the crumbs and the bad fish.
Yeah, I think that that's very true. And I think it's just that they're alive, you know, and I don't know. I wish I could. We kept kind of looking for the pattern because we sort of wanted to be able to stay, you know. And but what we did see was that it's across the board, you know. I mean, some of these women had no money. People would say, oh, do they? You know, some women were really scraping by. Some women had, you know, gotten married young and had great grandchildren. Some had had perfect health. Some had had really difficult health issues.
Well, maybe these were women who just come into their own, so to speak, comfortable in their own skin, finally.
I think that that's very much true, comfortable in their own skin, and yeah, very much so. And it reflected sexually, too, because I guess if they were comfortable in their own skin, then they were comfortable. If they met somebody new, they were comfortable experimenting.
Well, because they weren't so worried about what other people thought.
Yes. And even three of the women that we interviewed were very religious, and even those women were, you know, very much not worried about what other people thought of them, because their relationship to God was very much like, you know what, I'm a good person, and I, you know, believe in God, and what other people think of me doesn't matter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think what was great for me was to see that, you know, let's say you are in a rut. Let's say you're 45 and you're right. It's so easy to think like it's a downhill slope. You
Boy,
know?
I don't think like that. I know Oprah promises it'll be better, and I know it's better. I feel better all the time. I don't make stupid mistakes. Life keeps opening up. I love it.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, what I really wanted was to give a book that my sister could have read, you know what I mean, when she was turning 40, and say, wow, that woman could meet the love of her life at 80, or that woman, you know, it's not like these people have never had down times. They have, but they keep coming back up, and they're smarter, you know, and they are wiser, and they do make better choices, and they also are willing to take risks, and I think that's a really important thing, because, you know, taking a risk, I guess what you were talking about disappointment earlier, it's like you have to know that when you take a risk, you might not get it. You've got to have a kind of a light touch.
Yes. Too many people, I think, want the, you know, they, you know, if we all needed the guarantee to be able to move forward, you know, we wouldn't get anywhere in life. There is no guarantee, and you don't protect yourself from getting hurt in relationships. You have them. They work for you. They don't work for you. You get in them. You get out of them. I mean, that's the grown-up world of life and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe living longer, you've been in and out enough time, you've had some, you know, you've gotten some bruises, and you know you can get up, and it's like you're just willing to take that risk. Or partly what I found a lot of older women is they got sick, they got annoyed with themselves about always sitting back, and people would be like, you know what, I've spent 30 years waiting to ask a man out on a date. You know what? I'm a 75-year-old woman. I'm going to go for it and do it. And there became this kind of excitement about breaking their own patterns of passivity.
Well, let me tell you what. I am definitely that type of woman because I feel like that. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX with Christine Niffin, the voice of St. Louis.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, we're back. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Deirdre Fischel and her book that she co-authored, Still Doing It, The Intimate Lives of Women Over 60. Who hears me rattling the papers? I can hear it. Deirdre, listen, you know, the idea of older women having sex, you know, still is taboo, definitely, as you guys say. And you talked about a good response from the younger set, but, you know, how does a response to we'll just take the book, I guess, or maybe even the topic. How does it divvy up in general? I mean, you know, what percentage of people sort of say right on? What percentage get comfortable? Is it broken down stereotypically by age, you know? And, you know, what kind of responses do you get?
I think, you know, definitely more men, I think, you know, and that maybe is the stereotype. You know, we do get a certain, you know, number of people just like, oh, God, you know, I don't want to see it, you know.
Is that more men that are like that?
I think that it's more men. But
I'm sure it probably is because,
probably,
you know,
is.
They come into my office and, you know, I you know, work on with men in relationship coaching. It's a workbook I've done about your patterns, your expectations. We figure out your wants and your needs. And, you know, the needs are with men, not all men. I don't want to overly generalize. But with many men, the first thing up on the need is, you know, attractiveness,
mm-hmm.
youth. They want to be younger. It's how it is. It's, you know, the way it is.
And a lot of, yeah, I mean, a lot of men do go out with younger women. I mean, there's no way around that. I mean, that's a big section in the book. So, you know, I think what's surprising to us was that even a lot of younger men, I mean, the idea, I think, freaks people out, you know, and there's all sorts of reasons of that. You know, partly it's mortality, but partly it's just that we live in a culture where we never see it. So we associate sex with youth. It's what we see. It's what we see in the movies. So, like, when we think about older people, it's just like, oh, I've never seen that before, and it's, do I have to go?
You know why? Because it's wild. Because they are clearly picturing some kind of act. I mean, that's why I think they get like that, don't you? I think they immediately go to some physical image.
I think that they do, too. And I don't think that there's any, you know, anytime we see an image that we haven't seen before, you know, it's so not what we see. And then I guess people associate their parents, you know, and whatever. But I think first with the film, I mean, what we got all the time was people going like, wow, it's not what I thought. Because people have all sorts of other things about older people. They think that they're not funny. They think that they're not sharp. They think that they, you know, you have to, like, there are all sorts of things you can't say. You know, one of the women in the film and the book is a therapist, and she's in her 70s, and she's just recently retired, but she used to have to reassure people that they could talk about sex, because we have all this idea that older people are prudish, and so I think...
And grandmas.
So when people would see the film, I think they were kind of blown away, like, wow, these women are really funny. These women are really fun. They're irreverent. And that sort of helped you to sort of get away from just focusing on their wrinkles. You're like, wow, these are people I might want to hang out with.
You know what they are, too? They're free.
They're totally free. And they're having fun. And I think they're really appealing in that way. And we don't get enough opportunities to see how appealing older women really are, because we never, our society to the great extent doesn't ever show them or talk about them, because we don't think of sex with that. But I think I really do believe that we're on the cusp of a revolution, and I really do believe that as all these baby boomers get older and they're all these sort of wild and wonderful older people, that it's going to open up a little bit. But it's not going to be easy, because a lot of money is made on making people feel bad about aging. I mean, if you feel great about aging and you would never have plastic surgery and you'd never buy all these creams, there's a whole industry that would go down the tubes.
Well, I might be making the tube. I mean, I put a moisturizer on, don't kid yourself, but I'm not a plastic surgery type person, and I actually like aging. I'm not one of those people freaking out because, you know, 50 will be here in 5 years, and I appreciate that people do genuinely feel that way, and I feel for them. But I think those are people still too constrained by, you know, what society thinks. And I think, as that quote I said earlier, when, you know, the definition of empty is, you know, defining yourself by other people's sort of, you know, expectations, because you would have to be empty to let all those roll in. If you had yourself, there wouldn't be any more room for all that nonsense.
Right, right. I think that's true. And I think you're lucky. And I think you're like someone like Betty, who's done it pretty gracefully. But I think a lot of the rest of us need to be inspired, and we need to see images, and we need to be rallied a little bit, and for other women to sort of mentor each other, you know? And
I think that's a great thing. Listen, Deirdre, we're going to take a final break here, and when we come back, we'll be finishing up. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX, The Voice of St. Louis.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, listen, we're back. For those of you just joining us, we've been talking to co-author Deirdre Fischel. I'm working hard with that name. And the book Still Doing It, The Intimate Lives of Women Over 60. And a few people have called, so we're going to be opening those lines up about 10, 12 minutes after the next hour. And be sure to give us a call, 436-7900 and toll-free 800-925-1120. Deirdre, a couple of quick questions, because we're, you know how it is in radio. We're down to the last wire here. How does anybody get a hold of the full documentary? Is that something we could get a hold of?
Absolutely. If you go to the website, stilldoingit.com, you can order it. And what we've had some people do, which we found really great, is a bunch of women will buy it and then watch it together and then just use it as a jumping off point. Like, have a fun Saturday night, you know, and talk and be inspired. So, you know, we really encourage you to do that. It's very easy. Just go to stilldoingit.com.
Well, listen, I'm telling you what, I'm going to get a copy of the documentary. I'm going to start handing it out like as a rental thing for my therapy sessions for people to use. I think it's a great thing. Also, how can people go ahead and get the book, Still Doing It?
The book, you can also go to, if you go to our website, and you can actually go, if you can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or any of the bigger houses, and you can do it all right through our site. You can go directly to that, and it should be at most of the local bookstores as well, but just, if you go to our site, it's all very easy, stilldoingit.com.
All right, listen, thank you so much. Great book, great topic. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Thanks for being on Relationships 101.
I enjoyed it too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, we're going to get ready to take a break here. We're going to be taking those calls. A few people have called in, and we're just going to be taking those calls here about 10, 12 after. You know, we've got to take the news, see what's going on in the world. So you be sure to call in next hour with your thoughts and comments on this topic. It's a good one, or anything else you want to ask. We'll see you after the break.